It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey, what is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. We are all presented by the good people over there at FanDuel, so we thank them for their sponsorship of this very show. If you enjoy what I do here for you each and every day, please go over there, make a deposit, and give them some of your daily fantasy business. But this Monday should be a terrific show. If you're looking for game analysis, we're not going to have it today because we're just jam-packed with stuff, including an interview with the big Midsummer Classic winner over there on DraftKings. He only won, I think, in total about $140,000 playing daily fantasy in one weekend. He is the one and only Napster Man, and he's going to join us here on the podcast a little bit later to talk about his giant win, how he navigated the job, I guess you could say, of building 96 teams, you know, some of the criticism that he might have been receiving for, you know, entering so much teams, and just a good conversation with him a little bit about that night, and I think you'll enjoy it. So that's going to be coming up with Nap here a little bit later on the podcast. Also, have a lot of news to discuss. Of course, we had cues from this weekend. We'll let you know who took down what over there on Draft Street, and over there also with Star Street with the Playboy Fantasy Baseball Championship. Super Joust 6 is still going on. We're down to the final 32. I'm sticking my chest far out as I have two teams left. Not great, but not terrible. Started with 6 out of, I think, 500-something, and to still have two teams surviving, I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot here. So if I can get two more through to the round of 16, that would be ideal. That's kind of the goal of mine. So we'll see if we can accomplish that. But we'll keep you posted. But I have to say, some heavy hitters left in that Super Joust 6. So we'll give you the blow-by-blow, play-by-play, as we inch closer to somebody winning $20,000 over there on Joust. Speaking of Joust, we'll discuss a little bit what happened. You know, there were some discussions late last week, some worries about what the situation was with the site. Was it going to stay up? And some really good news concerning that. So we will go into that here in just a little bit. Also, we've got a incredible promo going on with the guys at Fan Throwdown. I guess if you could say this could be the Fan Throwdown week, because we've got just a week long of overlay and huge tournaments and great promos in conjunction with them. They have a $100,000 tournament that we've spoken about. It's called the Grand Slam, and it's a $200 entry, multi-entry tournament. It's going to take place, I think, first week in September. And basically, for people who have joined in through our links, you are going to get bang for your buck, some of the best opportunities to win some of your seats. If you haven't signed up, make sure, as always, sign up through our links, because then you get possibility, or you basically get the advantages of these cool promos that we have that are exclusive for our members. And of course, we are going to have Fan Throwdown incentives coming as well. Hopefully have those up sometime in the next couple weeks, I'm hoping. Not sure. That's not my area of the site, but I know they're being worked on, and soon enough, as soon as we get them up, if you sign up through our links, they are yours for absolutely free. So no reason not to ever sign up to an account anywhere else but Roto Grinders, because we're just giving you, you know, the best tools you can have. But we'll discuss this promo as well here in just a little bit. So with all that stuff going on, we just don't have too much time to break down the games. Grinders live tonight. Be sure to check that out. 4 o'clock is the happy hour, and the flagship show jumps on at 5:30 to 6:30. Soccer Dave and Al Smizzle will get you ready for a big night in fantasy baseball. So let's first talk about what happened on Friday night. It was the DraftKings Midsummer Classic, and it was the biggest individual buy-in tournament we've ever seen in the industry. They didn't fill it, but I would think that the people at DraftKings would be happy with the number of people that they had in it. I don't have the numbers sitting in front of me, but they didn't take a huge, huge bath. You know, they didn't have $200,000 in overlay or anything like that. And the one and only Napster Man took it down. And clearly, this is his format of game. When you can have multiple entries, nobody does it better than Knapp. And not only, you know, he cashed, I think, 30-some-odd entries, but of course he had the one that finished on top. And it was a really exciting night just to watch. I wasn't even involved in that close to of it in the sense of, you know, I didn't have $75,000 determined by an Eric Sogard, you know, just garbage time bunt against Jared Weaver. That was basically the deciding factor. But it was quite a night to follow, and it was interesting talking to him. You'll hear it in the interview how Knapp didn't really watch the games. He didn't really follow it until the last three outs. Nuts, if you ask me. Absolutely crazy. But we will just definitely get on that interview with him a little bit later. But what bothers me is some of the criticism, maybe not so much Knapp has gotten, but the tournament in general. And, you know, people are being like, oh, he had 96 entries, of course he's supposed to win. That's not how it works. There were a lot of people who had a lot of entries and didn't do very well. And just because you have a lot of entries doesn't guarantee you to win. Does it give you an advantage? Sure. But he's earned every single one of those entries. He did not buy in 100 entries. He went through the process of entering the satellite tournaments. He basically had, you know, almost close to $20,000 sitting in tournament tickets. Think about that for a second. That's a lot. But he bought, you know, that was the strategy that he used. So I give him all the credit in the world. And for people who to say it's not good for the industry to have a guy who had 96 entries win, they're full of it. Are you kidding me? I mean, certainly there might be some people who are turned off, but the fact of the matter is, this isn't like DraftKings is running this tournament, you know, three times a week. You're talking about once a season. And if they want to have the big prize pools like they have to allow large entry limits. They have to. So maybe there's a handful of people out there who looked at it and say, oh, I don't have a prayer against Napster Man and his 100 entries. Well, that's fine. You may think that, but you know what? I put a single entry in, one entry, and I was a Chad Gaudin start away from finishing in the top 10. What I mean by that is I finished 48th, about 13 points out of the top 10, and I had negative one from my pitcher, one team, and it wasn't a stack. So it's not impossible to do. I mean, I still tripled my buy-in amount on that, more than tripled it. So don't think it's impossible. Like I talked about going into it, half of the entries were dead money because you had a lot of people stacking teams that weren't likely to do all that well. It's impossible to have that many teams score that many runs where all the stacks are going to cash. So you have a lot of dead money automatically in there. But people who are like getting on DraftKings for this, and yeah, people can clamor for your large field single entry tournaments. That's fine. But I don't think a large field single entry tournament brings in casual people to the industry. I think a $500,000 prize pool, the $125,000 guaranteed, brings in new people. And you might say, well, they might look at it and say, well, this isn't fair. This guy has 96 entries. But you know what? They get on the site and they play. They try daily fantasy sports. Whether they win or they cash or not, who knows? But at least they got in and gave it a try. And they can see what else there is to offer. Because automatically what we've learned, and 95% of us are in the same boat, the first time we played daily fantasy sports, we're like, this is so freaking awesome. Where has this been my whole life? So the goal is to get people in to try it. And I think when you have a big splash like this, you have these big tournaments, I don't have any issue with it whatsoever. I hope DraftKings continues to do them. They've always been known to push the envelope. And, yeah, like I said, a single entry tournament might be ideal in the sense everybody's in the same level playing field, but you're never going to hit the magnitude of people that you do in something like this, or at least the magnitude of prize pool. And right now, prize pools are driving this industry. There's no question about it. It's not the competitive nature of the game, as some people like to say. And look at it. Young Kaiser, who finished second, who was an Eric Sogard bunt away from winning $125,000, or basically a Paul Goldschmidt single in the eighth away from winning $125,000, only had three entries in this tournament. So I'm not buying this garbage that it was, you know, Knapp's tournament. You know, of course he's going to win. That's bullcrap. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. And overall, I think it was an incredibly exciting night for the industry. And I was so happy to see Grinders take it down. You know, we had the football event where a poker guy came in, won $100,000, and I don't know if he played another game ever of Daily Fantasy. That makes me sick. The one thing I can tell you this much is I know Napsterman is going to keep playing and probably play some more. That's what he does. This is his game. I'm so happy to see somebody like him and Young Kaiser, who's really always been a part of this Grinders community. He's in the Grinders live chat asking questions all the time. We've seen him around. So, you know, it's really good. Really happy to see these guys be so successful in that. But that's my take on the tournament, and we'll see what football. I mean, for them to do $500,000 in baseball was incredibly ambitious. So who knows what football is going to bring. But great job by Knapp. Great job by Young Kaiser. And it was just a terrific tournament all around. Next thing I need to talk about, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the Fan Throwdown launch promo that we have going on, but there were so many worries on, I think it was Friday night, about the talk, the scuttlebutt of what's going to happen to Daily Joust. Are they going to, you know, stay afloat? You know, they obviously, Mike Rathbun moved to Fantasy Feud, and then there was, you know, rumors swirling about this and that, and I have to say, you know, Joust and Fan Throwdown came together and knocked out basically some kind of deal, which basically allowed Fan Throwdown to influx a bunch of cash into Daily Joust. I don't know the level of ownership. I have no idea how it works from that side of things, but certainly sounds like we're going to have, you know, kind of a shift in management over there on Daily Joust. And the good thing is they could not have waited another day or two because the consumer confidence was waning dramatically on that site. So I believe it was Saturday night this came out that Fan Throwdown basically said, hey, you know, we're investing in Daily Joust. Here, we're going to supply them capital to keep going. And it was just terrific news. So really happy to see this one. I think Cal referred to them as the white knight of fantasy sports, as they've already, you know, bought up the likes of Fantasy Sports Live, BuzzDraft. And how this acquisition with Daily Joust is going to work, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. From all indications are, Joust is going to run separately. In those other cases, they basically took over the accounts of the people who were playing on FSL and BuzzDraft and said, okay, you know, we're taking them over. It's Fan Throwdown time. I don't necessarily think that's what's going to happen in this case, but again, I don't know the particulars of it. But the good thing is it appears that Joust is not going anywhere anytime soon. Obviously, all of our money on the site is safe, and business continues. And I'm really excited about that. That's been one of my favorite places to play over the course of the years, and I didn't want to see him go under. So thank you to Fan Throwdown for doing that, and I think it's a wise business decision, and I think it's going to be a wise business decision to run them as two separate entities, in my estimation, because I think they're two different type of games, two different type of sites. Joust brings a lot of different things to the table, and the one thing I've always felt about Daily Joust from the beginning was I thought it was always, I hope they don't take this the wrong way, going to be kind of a niche site. I didn't think at any point in time was the site going to be number one or number two. And I'll tell you, one of the big reasons behind it was the whole medieval theme that they have going on, which is fine, but I don't think that's ever going to cater to being mainstream number one. And it might sound hokey, but I think it's factual. I think, you know, some of the naming of the tournaments and stuff like that, I think it wears on your average person who comes to the site. So that's one of the things where I don't think there's anything wrong with being a niche site. I don't think there's anything wrong with being number 3, 4, or 5 in the list of daily fantasy sites. But I think you have to have realistic expectations, and I love the gameplay over there. I love the salary structure. There's a lot of things that I do really like, but it'll be interesting to see what might change over the coming days, months, years on that site with this Fan Throwdown, I guess, semi-acquisition, but I'm very happy about it. Still live in Super Joust. Going to be playing over there still. But really kind of big news in the industry. So if you were a player on that site and you heard the rumors, they have been put to rest. I guess we could say long live Daily Joust. So there you go. But now on to our big fan throwdown promo. This is our first really promo that we've done with them. And like I mentioned, they've got a $100,000 Grand Slam tournament. And we're going to be giving out 35 seats valued at $200 a piece for this tournament. So that's like $7,000 worth of seats here for the Grinders community. That doesn't suck. So first and foremost, if you haven't made your deposit, go through our links. Use the promo code LAUNCH and you are going to get a 100% deposit up to $1,000 on an initial deposit. And I believe there's a redeposit bonus of $100 or 100% as well. So if you've not, if you've already created an account, you've already made a deposit, throw some more money in, use that code LAUNCH, and you'll be good to go. First things first, free rolls. We got three of them, depending on how much money you put in. $100, you're getting into a free roll for two of the seats. Put in $500, then you're going to get a two-seat free roll for those people, and then access to the one for the $100 as well. You put in $1,000, you'll get an access to a free roll, giving out two seats on top of the $102 or $105 depositor free rolls. So basically, if you put in a grand, you're going to have a shot at six seats total, two of which I have to imagine is going to be a pretty small field on that $1,000 deposit. So six seats there guaranteed. Then moving on to onto Wednesday, we have basically guaranteed overlay satellites, 15 seats going to be given away in that, and 10 seats in the prize pool plus an extra 5 in guaranteed overlay. That doesn't suck. Thursday, we're going to be a double up tourney with a bonus of a top 75% getting paid on the $22 buy-in. Top overall will also get a $200 seat. And guaranteed overlay satellite number 2 will have 15 total seats, 5 of those in guaranteed overlay, $55 buy-in. But yeah, so this is just, you know, it's just like free seats, free money being given out left and right over there on Fan Throwdown. And then moving on to Friday, more guaranteed satellites, 5 guaranteed seats in the $22 buy-in. And then the $5,000 Friday night fight bonuses. You buy 5 $11 seats, you get one free for the next week's Friday night fight tournament. And the top 3 scoring players who are RG referrals will also win a $200 seat, so max one per person. So just basically the bottom line is you go through our links, you play on their site, you're going to have a good chance to win. Because one of the things that we're doing, again, this is just for the players track to RG, is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all of this week, the player with the most wins in real money games gets a $200 seat each day. And then the player with the highest point scored. So again, if you're not a high volume player, it doesn't matter. If you just put up a good score, the highest one on Monday through Friday will also win a $200 seat. So there's 10 seats, which is opposite of all the other things that we're talking about, just for playing on their site, that you can obviously get your hands on. So on top of that, they are running guaranteed overlay double ups in tournaments and overlay basically on the site for everybody else. But to make the promo even simpler, just sign up through our links, play on their site, and all the information right there on the RG Forums thread. We're going to talk to the guys at Fan Throwdown tomorrow. So they're going to join us on the podcast, learn a little bit about their strategy in entering this marketplace, certainly making a lot of waves, and obviously getting to this promo a little bit more. So thanks to have them. We're really excited to have them on board. Long time coming. They've definitely put a lot of work into it. They seem to have a great business strategy in terms of trying to establish themselves in a pretty crowded field. And, you know, we try not to attach our name, the RotoGrinders name, to just every daily site out there. We look for the best of the best, and we think Fan Throwdown is gaining momentum and somebody who seems to basically be a player moving forward here in daily fantasy. So excited to kind of have them a part of the team. So that is that promo. Now, Last thing for us to discuss before we get to our interview with the one and only Napster Man. Let's recap what happened. PFBC, that is the Playboy Fantasy Baseball Championship. Whiskey Tavon took it down on Friday. That guy's been close quite a bit. He's been working those cues and working the Star Street magic, and he took it down, so he will be going to the Playboy Mansion coming up at the end of August, so congratulations to him. On Draft Street, Diamond Jim 69. It's amazing how many dudes' favorite numbers are 69, but Diamond Jim takes it down. I don't know if it was Diamond Jim who won, but there was another 69er who took down one of the Draft Street cues just the other day, but congratulations to him. And Paddle Smasher, also the big winner on Draft Street. I believe that was the Sunday afternoon Draft Street Baseball Championship cue. And then a little shout-out to Stevie FL. He won the big Friday Night Fight Tournament over there on Fan Throwdown as well. They're running that again every Friday night. So that's what I have in terms of the big winners. But the biggest winner of them all is the one and only Napster Man. Guy just is a beast and finished on top once again. Let's hear from him, the big Midsummer Classic winner on DraftKings, the one and only Napster Man. Well, wouldn't be a Monday after a big weekend in daily fantasy sports if we didn't talk to one of the biggest winners out there. And, of course, DraftKings had the Midsummer Classic on Friday night. And a classic it certainly was. And, of course, giving away $125,000, the biggest open field tournament in daily fantasy history. And we're talking to the winner. He is the one and only Napster Man. And he joins us once again on the podcast. Nap, I don't even have to ask you how's it going, because I don't really care what's going on in your life. I'm sure $125,000 makes everything a little bit better. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, definitely got no complaints.
Has it finally sunk in a little bit? I mean, we're talking here on Sunday night. It's been a couple days. Have you realized what you accomplished? I mean, this is just a sick, sick score.
I don't even think I've really processed it. I mean, I understand it's like how much it is, but like until you cash out of your account, it just kind of looks like play chips just sitting in there.
So do you literally have like $125,000 plus sitting in a DraftKings account right now?
Yeah, it looks like they expanded the thing a little bit, but it fits.
So it's sitting there, so you could literally, I mean, what is it like to see? I mean, I know what it's like because it's a lot of numbers, but I mean, did you play games on there? I mean, have you been playing the last couple days after won this money? I mean, it's, if you lose, it's like nothing. It has to look like whatever.
I mean, yeah, I don't really let that affect how I play. I mean, I'm gonna play every day. You got to stay on top of the players and the games and stuff. So yeah, I played today. Definitely gonna keep playing and probably just cash out slowly over time. And yeah,
slowly over time.
I mean, maybe I'll do a lump sum just to be safe. But
DraftKings probably has no problem with you, you know, slowly over time. They really like the sound of that. But we've got to talk about this tournament that night. You know, the feedback that you've gotten from this, because it's really an amazing thing that we've kind of seen, you know, in the sense of, you know, daily fantasy sports has grown so dramatically, and for the growth to continue, we need really awesome events like this. And it's no secret, if people don't know, you know, Nap had, I believe, the most number of entries out of anybody in the tournament. I think was the total 96, was that right?
Yep, 96 tickets.
Now, you did not want to go four more to max out, huh?
I told myself 4 months ago, you're going to enter all qualifying tickets, just see if you can do it. And I stuck to it, and you can't jinx yourself like that. If I bought it one more time, I would have got, 100th place.
So just to be clear, every single one of those tickets that you had, you won via satellite qualifier.
Yep.
And
there was a lot of money tied up.
And was this, I mean, how long have you been, you know, scoping this out? I mean, is this obviously, did you set a goal for yourself? I mean, it sounded like you did. Was it, hey, I want to get to 50, 75? You know, tell me about, like, the game plan in getting to this point.
Okay, so, you know, they announced the tournament, I think, April or at least 4 months ago, and, you know, right away you're like, wow, 125,000, and then immediately you kind of look how many places get paid, and I looked, 600 places get paid, so immediately I know, like, you got to get a crap load of teams into this thing, because even if you don't win, if you can cash 15, 20, 25 teams, you can win back all of your qualifying entries and basically free roll a chance at 125,000. That was my goal, to win back all my qualifying entries, cash 20 to 30 teams, and then have a huge chance at, you know, the big money. So, you know, I kind of thought like people would wait to tackle these little qualifiers, you know, until it got closer when they're super qualifiers. And so I just kind of put all my focus on DraftKings and was like, this is the time to just stockpile. While, I mean, even the 10-mans early on were filling like 7 people, like 8 people, and I would put, you know, 2-3 teams into those, $20 to win a $200 ticket with overlay. So, I mean, if you can sweep a few nights of that, that's 30 tickets. It just kept piling up, and I got to 50 about 2 months ago, and I was like, crap, maybe the max is 50. I don't want to go over. And then I emailed them. I was like, what's the max on the midsummer? And they said 100. I was like, wow, I need to rethink this. So I went back, look at the payout structure. I'm like, if you can cash 30 teams, I mean, that's 6,000. You can get back all your qualifying entries, plus make money, plus free roll a chance at 125,000. So I just said, you need to keep going as close as you can to the max. So I just pounded these qualifiers and finished with 96 tickets the night before, the week before the All-Star break, and then just started thinking about how you want to make these teams.
Now, did you partake in some of the super qualifiers as well? And in those, did you play multiple lineups or the same lineup multiple times to kind of, you know, to win multiple tickets on that same lineup? Or, I mean, how did that go, you know, down the stretch? Because I know that's a strategy a lot of guys like to use.
Yeah, I did the super qualifiers. I usually do, depends on the buy-in. Like, I think the $27 buy-in, I would do, like, groups of 3 or 4 of the same team. Maybe 2 groups or 3 groups. So you only need 1 group to cash, and you make, the, you know, $600, $800 worth of entries. So yeah, that was my, I definitely like that. That's probably the best way to tackle the super qualifiers, do little groups. So you have, you know, you're hedging your teams while kind of maximizing the tickets if it hits.
Now you get the 96 tickets. It sounds like you have a game plan. You know, your goal was to first off cash, what'd you say? 30?
I just wanted to cash, as many teams as necessary to win back 4 months worth of qualifying entries, which, you know, I don't even know how much it was. I think it was, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 maybe, which, you know, it's, I mean, that's worth it to me. It's $20,000 worth of tickets that I got.
I was
going
to say, you think you probably spent 6,000 to 8,000 to win the close to 20 grand in tickets?
I mean, just an estimate. I really don't know. It was 4 months. I don't like track, you know, stuff like that. I just do it, you know.
which is amazing to me, and I love that about you, is you're not one of these, you know, spreadsheet nerds in the sense of, you know, you do a lot of stuff still on instinct, and that leads me into this. You have 96 teams, and I know you've put a lot of teams into tournaments before. This has to be close to a record number for you, I would think, and talk us through this process, because I cannot fathom it. I mean, I did 30 one time and my head was about to explode, and you tripled me up. How do you put 90 some odd teams together? Talk us through the strategy of it.
Very slowly and meticulously. I started out, I mean, with that many, you have to stack every team at least once. I mean, just in case, I mean, any team can put up 15 runs a night. On this night, you can't miss that team. So 30 teams off the bat, that's easy. Wait till lineups come out. 30 teams, I don't have to think about it. You know, I made those lineups like a week ahead of time. You can kind of just enter, you know, what you generic, you know, Brave stack, and then when it comes out, you just fix two guys. And then after that, I just really had to kind of think about it. So my next step, I did a second variation of my favorite, like, maybe 15, 18 teams. And so I would change the pitchers and then a couple of the weakest hitters on that lineup. Like, let's see, I'll say the Reds. Like, you know, take off Mesoraco, take off maybe Cozart. Just kind of put different bats in case those weaker guys, you know, don't outperform what they're expected to do. And so that got to about 55 teams. And then the next step, I picked my favorite, like, 10 offenses, like the highest over-under. I did 4-4 combos of the best hitters on each offense, you know, best spots in the lineup. Like, I think I did Mets, Phillies, Rays, Angels, Red Sox, Cleveland, just every combination, not every combination, but like 4-4 of my favorite 10 offenses. So that got to 70 teams. And then I did a lot of 2-2-2-2 teams. You know, those 10 offenses with like the two favorite hitters on each team, just kind of mixing a crap load of them, getting different pitchers that you had on the stacks, or different, you know, if you have like Gaudin and Price on one of your stacks, and then that alternate stack you have like Holland, De La Rosa, you know, that those 4-4, those 2-2, I would do like De La Rosa, Gaudin, just so you kind of, you need like the right two of those four to go off. So that got to about 90, and then I waited till the lineups come out and just do, you know, 6 to 10 of just your, just kind of gamble, random, you know, standard lineups, and I got to 96, and it's a lot of work, and it took 4 months, and it was worth it to me.
Now, the team that ended up winning, I believe it was a Ray stack?
Yeah, it was the sixth team I entered, my first Ray stack, yeah.
Were the Rays, was this one of the teams that you stacked multiple times, or was this a single stack?
No, this is one of my top five offenses of the night. I mean, against Esmiel Rogers, I love those lefty Rays in that park. And so, yeah, I did that full stack, and then I did a variation of that stack, and then I used them on the 4-4 and then all the 2-2-2. So I had a lot of Rays going, and they were definitely the team, and them and the Phillies were the team of the night, so that worked out great.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, you only won 125,000. I'd say it worked out pretty good. Now, you know, monitoring 96 teams, and especially knowing how much, you know, money you have out there, how much money is on the line, how do you handle this? You know, I was joking that you were sitting back, you know, in your – in your apartment with like girls on your arms, like smoking a cigar, just like, you know, eating it up, knowing that you were going to win. But how does one person actually go through the stress of watching a night? And I'm not even talking about the end of the night. I'm talking about, you know, the first hour and a half or so where, you know, it looked like in the beginning it was straight Phillies. And if you didn't have them, you didn't have a chance. I mean, talk me through the night for you.
I mean, you just gotta let it happen. I mean, Phillies jumped out, but I mean, I kind of figured every team was playing that night. I just felt like there's so much baseball left. You can't just get down on yourself if you don't have Phillies. You just gotta let it play out. I mean, I see, you know, one at bat, people flip out on Twitter, you know, in chat. It's just like, you can't let like one day, one at bat, one player just can't affect your next day, you know, how you react to next tournament. You just kind of let it happen. And then, you know, if you have a sweat at the end, you can decide if you want to watch it or let it, you know, avoid it. So, I mean, about an hour left in the tournament, I saw I needed Gaudin to stay hot and Posey to get, you know, about 10 points and then Weaver to not go crazy. And I just didn't want to watch. I just had a feeling like if you watch this, something six going to happen. And then it turned out, didn't watch a lot of sick stuff happen. So you didn't watch.
You're telling me you did not watch the baseball games. I know you watched the final inning or so, but I mean, leading up to it when you knew you were in the hunt, when it was kind of like, okay, it's you and Young Kaiser, you didn't watch that inning or so, or those couple of innings?
I stopped watching from the sixth inning of the Giants game to the final three outs, yeah.
not even like Gamecast?
I couldn't. No, I just couldn't. I just watched random crap. I couldn't even.
Hold on. So, I mean, you know what happened, right?
I mean, I heard Sogard hit a running bunt or swinging bunt that knocked out Weaver, and then Gaudin had the bases loaded in the eighth, got out of it.
He just didn't have the bases loaded. He had the bases loaded going against Paul Goldschmidt.
Was there no outs or?
There was two outs at the point in time, but a single would have scored two, and it would have been the end of you.
Yeah,
But here's my question for you. I guess it's easy to ask this now, but and it's weird knowing that you weren't watching. But if you had an opportunity to chop with young Kaiser, full well knowing that, you know, a single by Paul Goldschmidt was going to potentially cost you $75,000, would you have chopped at that moment if, say, this was a live event or, you know, you had a forum to cut a deal?
Wow. Yeah, that's probably. I mean, once the bases are loaded, I mean, it's the only thing is you have to work that out, you know, super quick. I mean, we can't both pause the TV and think about it. I mean, I got online. I kind of thought about it. I was like, it was 2-0 Giants. And I said, we were talking in the chat, me and Kaiser. I was like, if the Diamondbacks get a run, I'll definitely do something. I mean, I can't risk that. I mean, 2-0 lead with, you know, Romo and a crappy ass Diamondbacks lineup that night. I mean, I just felt like you had to let that ride until, you know, they were within a run. So I would have if they got to a run within a run.
Yeah, well, like I said, though, it would have been a little bit different if you were watching in that moment. I'll tell you, Goldschmidt had some good hacks. But, wow, absolutely intense. I had no idea that you were just, watching, you know, Sharknado or something at the time. Who knows? But absolutely incredible. We're talking to Napster Man. He took down the big Midsummer Classic over there on DraftKings. And this isn't your first big win over there. Did you win the basketball? The big basketball tournament there too, was a bank shot maybe?
Yeah, remember that Curry steal layup against Chop?
That's right.
that was crazy.
And how much was that for? Is that for like 30,000 or something?
50.
Okay. I was gonna say you never forget the first 50,000 you win.
But no.
But yeah, that was so you've had a lot of success over there, and you know, success breeds criticism, and you know, people haven't really been so critical of you per se. I think, especially in the boards, people, you know, can respect what you do. But the format of games and the fact that you won and had more entries than anybody else, what's your feeling when you hear people talk like that? I mean, do you ever be like, you know, bite me, or you're like, I know where you're coming from? I mean, what's your feeling when you hear people like kind of, you know, poo-poo a little bit what you accomplished?
I mean, I'm never going to say, like, bite me, but I mean, no one likes being criticized, or, I mean, I read all the forum posts, just to see what kind of industry's thinking, and, you know, someone just posted today, 96 teams is asinine, and, like, don't play on DraftKings, because that's crazy, but they just say that without even, like, thinking, like, maybe he took 4 months to build these up, you know, maybe he planned this out and didn't just put 20K in on the day of. And so, I mean, it's just, I just wish people kind of just thought before they just kind of blasted people what they see on the day of. But I mean, I would just say, try it. If it's I see also like if you're buying a win. I mean, if that's the case, just why don't everyone do it? I mean, put 20 teams in the $1. And I mean, there's tons of multi-entry tournaments out there. But I don't see people putting max teams. If it guarantees you a win, like, why wouldn't everyone do it? You really have to just think, you have to plan it out and think about which teams, how many you're going to do this way, know the players, splits, all that stuff. And if I had 600 places paid, I mean, I wanted to maximize everything. I just wanted to just go crazy on it.
Well, I think you approached it the right way in the sense of, hey, you know, if I win, great, but it's pain so deep, there's overlay here on these qualifiers, I can actually make profit by just cashing. I think I'm good enough to cash enough teams, and if I get lucky enough to get one that hits top five, then boom, you know, I'm a big winner. So I think you went in with the right strategy, and, you know, I mean, I think some people are looking at this the wrong way. It's not like DraftKings runs this tournament, you know, two times a week or something like that. I mean, this is a special event, and they gave
4 months of preparation, and they ran qualifiers like the day of they announced it. And so I just kind of feel like I took advantage of the overlay early on the qualifiers. And I just, that's kind of how I feel, you know?
Well, I think that we will all agree that, and nobody can disagree with this statement, in this format of tournament, I mean, we've seen it already on DraftKings, you know, the basketball event and certainly this event and other events in the past. This is really where you own it. And the funny thing is, you know, people talk about, oh, he won, you know, because he had 96 entries. But you still cashed a ton of the entries that you had. I mean, you could look at some of the really good players out there, and they didn't cash anywhere near the percentage of teams you did. So you were pretty much on it that day altogether. So I think you got to be given some credit from that respect as well. But where do you go from here? I mean, you just take a break. I mean, it doesn't sound like you do. It sounds like you're, you know, still, you know, back at it. But, I mean, how does this change things for you? I mean, this is clearly more money than you've ever won, and you've won a lot of money in daily fantasy, but is this going to change anything?
I'll probably go a little harder on the FFFC just because it's going to, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, the $10 field. I mean, what do you think it's going to be, like, 5,000 people the first week or, like?
Probably.
I mean, I literally might put like 100 teams in that, because I mean, just one team out of 5,000. I mean, that's a lottery. I mean, literally. I mean, even 100 out of 5,000. It just sounds crazy. I mean, even this tournament, 96. There was still 2,500 teams that could have put a better team in. So I mean, you gotta be a lot of people. But I mean, I'm not gonna change. Like, I was playing the 109s. You know, before I hit this, so I mean, I'm not going to go crazy. I'll probably stick to what I usually do.
Do you feel? I mean, it was funny. I was talking to Smizzle about this the other day, and it's like, feels like we're missing somebody. You know, at the DFBC coming up. You know, I mean, believe me, you won an incredible turn, 125,000. But you know, you don't make it to the FanDuel final. It sounds like that's obviously something that you're really going to focus on for football season. And hey, let's not forget, we still have 75,000 on Star Street and still qualifiers for big tournaments on Draft Street and on Draft Day. So I'm assuming you're not, you know, packing in baseball season quite yet. Probably got your eye on some of those other big tournaments.
Yeah. I was going to say that right off the bat. I forgot. I kind of took out my frustration of not qualifying on this DraftKings tournament. I mean, man, that was a rough FanDuel call. I probably got top five once, twice out of all the qualifying. So, I mean, it just didn't work out. I mean, that field is sick. I mean, there's like 15 of just like the top players in that. So, I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, if anyone has a plus one out there, I'm open.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, you've got enough money to buy their seat from them. You know, I mean, what's the asking price these days on a DFBC seat? You know,
I'm sure no one would take less than 10,000 on that.
I was thinking that same thing. I don't know what it is, but for some people who, you know, might be new and might not have the confidence to have to go against, you know, multiple Tuttles and PTs and Pepsis and Smizzles and Soccer Dave and all the other, you know, St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, it's just absolutely a loaded field. Hey, for 10 grand, they might take you up on that. But you're going to have ample opportunities to add to your bankroll. And, you know, it's the proverbial question that every, you know, stupid talk show host like myself has to ask. You won $125,000. That's a lot of money. I mean, I think I asked you last time if you're going to do anything with the 50, and you said, oh, I think I'm going to put it into the next tournament. $125,000 to put into the. I think you might have said that because you didn't give me anything. You're like, I remember.
I said I was going to invest it.
Yeah, you're going to invest it. Okay. So you're going to invest $125,000 or you're actually going to buy something nice, you know? I drove by a Porsche dealership the other day with my wife, and I said, you know what?
If I was Knapp,
I could buy one of those cars. So what's the plan now? $125,000.
I mean, first of all, fancy cars are the biggest money pit, and it's 50%, probably a higher chance of getting stolen. It's just the goal of a car is to get from one place to another without getting stolen or breaking down. And I'm happy with a solid car. So, no cars.
I don't know if you have a girlfriend, but I'm pretty sure you don't. But that might be the one thing you want to upgrade a little bit. That might get, girls like guys with fancy cars. See?
I mean, probably shallow girls who like, no.
No, okay. Not the ones you're looking for. Okay, so you're not going to go the car route. So are you going to do anything? Don't tell me you're going to buy an Xbox. What you going to do?
I really want to get like a Willie Mays baseball, Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. I might start I love that like thing that Smizzle has, that home plate ball case. Maybe get some high end balls in that, start a collection. Mays and Yogi Berra, they're about to die. Like those are guys to buy. I mean, they're going to skyrocket when like Mays in 15 years, that ball's going to be worth probably about $2,000. It's about $350 right now. So, sports memorabilia, I'm always looking at that. I don't know, just maybe nicer, maybe leave bigger tips for nice waiters.
There we go. All you have to say is, you'll buy some drinks at the Grinders party. How about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Spoil us other Grinders. But Knapp, honestly, congratulations. It really is... an incredible accomplishment. Don't take anything away from any skeptics you might have out there. Like I say, it doesn't matter how many teams you have. You still had to put the one together that won it, and you did it. So thanks again for your time. Thanks for, being a good voice for this industry. You've done a good job, with that in terms of, winning and being, very open with us here on the podcast, and we appreciate that so much. So congrats, and we'll see you down the road, I'm sure, once again.
Yeah. Are you going to Playboy Mansion?
I don't know. I don't know. It sounds like you want me to go. Is this what
I mean,
you're
saying? You have to. It's going to be ridiculous.
Okay. It's easy for... single.
You're right.
I'm not old, but I'm getting older, and I'm married with kids. But I think I might have an out here. So let's put it this way: leave you in suspense. I'm going to put it at 50-50 that I'm there. So we'll see. But it'll be a blast whether I'm there or not. I know that much. But you're right; it's going to be a great party. But that could be the next. That could be the next time we talk to you about winning a crap load of money. Believe it or not. So. Awesome, Knapp. Thanks again for your time, man.
All right. Thank you.
So this is where I tell you about my good friends over there at FanDuel, terrific sponsor here of the podcast. The DFBC right around the corner, 45 of the top daily fantasy players. Actually, a little bit less than that because a few people have multiple seats. But the best of the best is going to be out there at the Palazzo in Las Vegas vying for that $200,000 check, and that will be the highest payout in the history of daily fantasy sports. It's going to be an intense time. And if they're doing this for baseball, there's no telling what they're going to be having for football season. But I have a hunch we've got more coming down the pipe here for baseball after the DFBC. So buckle your seatbelts and stay tuned for that. Still lots of great tournaments on their site nightly. I'll tell you, you won't find a bigger base of players than you have over there at FanDuel. It makes the head-to-head and three-man games a whole lot of exciting, a lot more exciting. And same with the 50-50 contest. They have some larger field tournaments, and you get a good diversity of opponents in those. So you don't have to worry about playing the same guys over and over again. Now, you look at today, and I'm looking at some of the pitchers for today, because pitchers are important over there in FanDuel. You got to make sure you drill that position. And some of the expensive guys kind of facing off against each other are not the easiest of matchups. I think Yu Darvish looks a pretty expensive. Scherzer and Sale going against each other, far from a guaranteed win in that one. If you're going mid-range, I think Julio Teheran going against the New York Mets could be one way to take a look at it over on FanDuel. And if you want to go value town, I think Tyler Skaggs versus the Cubs at 4,500, pretty decent prospect there. And if you want to go bottom of the barrel, it's tough to go against Tampa Bay with how well they're hitting. But Brandon Workman, the minimum salary, $3K. So FanDuel, they don't like the young rookie pitchers. They like to price them down incredibly low. But if you want to get guys like Carlos Gonzalez, Troy Tulowitzki, and some of the higher-priced players, you might have to go with one of those bottom-of-the-barrel pitchers. But please check them out. Tons of guarantees tonight. Everything from the Grand Slam tournament, that's their biggest one of the day, $12,000 in guarantees, $270 the buy-in price there, but a little bit lower buy-ins, don't worry. $10 line drive, that's got a $6,000 guarantee. The strikeout, $7,500 on a $25 buy-in, and the squeeze, you can't beat that, $5,000 guaranteed tournament on only a $2 buy-in. So love the fact they cater to smaller bankroll people and as well as the people who can afford the $270 buy-in. So please give them a chance to earn your business. One of the great sponsors we have here on Roto Grinders and certainly of this podcast, they are FanDuel.com. And with that, I got to say goodbye to you for today. We'll return to the show again tomorrow. Fan Throwdown guys will come on, and we will talk a little bit about their site. Be our first podcast visit with them. So that'll be a good one. So check for that tomorrow. Today, we should have a couple of episodes of Grinders Live. Don't miss out on that, both 4 and 5:30. And then coming up the rest of the day, please send us a tweet over at RotoGrinders. Brad does a great job with that account. You can find me at Dan_Bach. Till tomorrow, everyone, have yourself a terrific Monday night, and we will see ya.